We will commence our meeting by singing together hymn 194. Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Let us give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Hymn 194. We now sing together hymn number 50. Thy goodness, Lord, our souls confess, thy goodness we adore. A spring whose blessings never fail, a sea without a shore. Hymn number 50.
Thank you.
Now is the time set aside for exhortation, my dear brethren and sisters, and we have much pleasure in asking Brother David to give to us that word. Brother David.
Good morning, brethren and sisters. In the fourth chapter of the letter to the Philippians and verse 4, the Apostle Paul writes like this: Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So that's what we're going to do a bit of this morning. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And if there's anything lovely, virtuous, praiseworthy, he says, meditate on these things. So we're going to start with springtime and meditate on that and rejoice about that. What is springtime all about? Springtime is about new life, new growth, a new start. Resurrection, if you like. That's what springtime is about. If you'd looked at my grapevine a month ago, you'd have thought it was quite dead. And now it's bursting with life. And rather foolishly, because there was a bit I hadn't pruned, last Wednesday I thought I'll just cut this off. And now I've got nearly half a margarine tub full of grapevine sap and it's still flowing. So that was a rather foolish thing to do. Hopefully the vine will be sufficiently strong, it's quite old and quite big, not to be permanently damaged because, of course, vines bleed. Why am I telling you all that? Because it illustrates the tremendous surge of new life, new vigorous life, which comes in the spring. That's why I say it's a sort of metaphor for resurrection, really. What appears to have been dead is now very much alive. Let me read to you from the Song of Solomon. You've heard me read this many times before, because you know I like it. Lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Now you might say, well, winter is past, it was so cold yesterday, you might be forgiven for thinking that's not quite right. And as for the rain being over and gone, your average waterboard manager would say, well, it's never come, never mind being over and gone. But the flowers appear on the earth, and if you haven't noticed them, you've been going around with your eyes shut. And as for the time of singing, have you listened to the birds lately? They're singing a new song. They do every year about this time. And what's that about? It's about love and it's about new life. Because that's what they're busy doing, building nests, laying eggs, and bringing new life into the world. And apart from the vagaries of our weather, one thing is indisputable. The days are now longer than the nights. Whatever the weather is doing, you can't get beyond that. We've passed the spring equinox. And why does that matter? Because God said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And God has kept that promise for all those thousands of years. And he continues to keep it. And he says further, he says more than that. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon and stars for a light by night. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then also the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me. Thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that there shall not be day and night in their season, then my covenant may also be broken with David my servant, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. Thus says the Lord, if my covenant is not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then I will cast away the descendants of Jacob, my servant, and David, my servant, so that I will not take any of his descendants to be ruler over the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So springtime, and indeed all the seasons, is God's guarantee that his promised purpose will be fulfilled, and that his people will serve him, and we know we are involved in that. And that's why we rejoice. And that is one of those desirable things on which we meditate, as the apostle instructs us. Let's go on from springtime. Today, as I'm sure you are all aware, is Easter Day, Easter Sunday, April the 8th. But do you know what yesterday was? I mean, I know it's Easter Saturday, but apart from that, what was particular about yesterday, at least for some people? Do I see any looks of recognition? I don't think I do, really. I will tell you. The 7th of April, that was yesterday, was the first day of Passover, as the Jews now celebrate it. The first day of Passover. The Jewish Passover and Easter do not always coincide quite as closely as this. If you check through your old diaries, you will find that this is not something which happens every year. So yesterday was a double Sabbath. It was the seventh day of the week. It was Saturday, so it would be the Jewish Sabbath, but it was also a special Sabbath because it was the first day of Passover. Listen to what God said to Israel through Moses. This day shall be to you a memorial. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your house. For whoever eats leavened bread on the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day, that's yesterday, there shall be a holy conversation. Convocation, I beg your pardon. There shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat. That only may be prepared by you. So, it was a special Sabbath. I wonder if that's what is referred to in the Gospel of John. You know, if we believe that Jesus was crucified on Friday and died late Friday afternoon, and then there was the Sabbath, and then rose early on the Sunday morning. I know there's much speculation about the actual timing, but just picture it like that for the moment. We read in John chapter 19 and verse 31, following Jesus' death, therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. I wonder if it was like it is this weekend when Jesus was crucified. Because that Sabbath following his death was a high day. It was a special Sabbath. And yesterday would have been a double Sabbath for the Jews. Well, that's a little bit speculative, but interesting. But it leads us to think of what Passover is about. Passover is a spring festival, and it's about the same thing. It's about a fresh start, new life, a new beginning for God's people. Particularly, it's about redemption. Redemption from slavery in Egypt. That's what Passover was about. It was a new start in a special sense, because God's people were redeemed from bondage. Let me read again from Exodus chapter 12. This day shall be to you a memorial. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. You shall observe the feast of unleavened bread on this same day. I will have brought your armies out of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. This day shall be to you a memorial. Isn't that what we call this breaking of bread meeting? We refer to it sometimes as the memorial feast or the memorial meeting. And the Apostle Paul takes this up in the letter to the Corinthians when he has this to say. Again, you will recognize, I think, these words. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So springtime and the Passover feast and festival is not just of historical or academic interest. It speaks of something very particular. And we know what it speaks of. We've spoken of it. New life, a new beginning, a new start. And above all, redemption for God's people. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep this feast. That is why we come to this memorial meeting, to keep that command that the Apostle gives us. Let me read to you what Jesus himself said, starting off in Luke and chapter 22. Jesus said to his disciples, "With fervent desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup, gave thanks. "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Likewise, the bread, his body given for you, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." That is the memorial. "And the cup after supper, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." You will observe that emphasis on newness, a new beginning, a new creation, a fresh start. Likewise, in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." "I have desired to eat this Passover," he said, "with you." So we come to Easter. Easter Day. Easter Sunday. Has its origins, as far as pagans are concerned, I guess, in springtime. It's a spring festival. But it's about the same thing. It's about this new life, this new growth, this new beginning. A fresh start. Except the true Easter message, which is what we believe and what we are talking about this morning, the true message of Easter is the reality of all of this and not just the symbol and the shadow. So, what is Easter about? Well, it's about suffering and death indeed, for Christ said he desired to eat of that Passover before he suffered. But it's also about new life, a new start, a new beginning, and above all, redemption and resurrection. And that's why we rejoice when we meditate, as the Apostle says, on these things. We rejoice and we celebrate. "Jesus, thy feast we celebrate," we sing, and we'll be singing shortly, picking up, as that hymn does, those words from 1 Corinthians and chapter 5, "Let us keep the feast, for Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." The essential message of Easter Day is this: he is not here, he is risen. He is not here, he is risen. Resurrection and redemption, just like the Passover. Redemption, a new life following deliverance from slavery. And what was the slavery that we have been delivered from? Let me read to you from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6. "Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life," a fresh start, a new beginning. "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death no longer has dominion over him." Well, may the apostle say, rejoice, I say again, rejoice and meditate on these things which are full of that loveliness and that praiseworthiness of what he speaks. All these things come to a focus at this breaking of bread meeting. This is what we think about when we come to this breaking of bread meeting and why it is so important for us, and why Jesus commanded us so to do. Finally, therefore, brethren and sisters, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, and whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus our Lord.
We now sing together hymn number 85. 'Twas on that dark and mournful night, when Jews and Gentiles joined their power against the Son of God to fight, to mock his name, his life devour. Hymn 85. For our concluding hymn, we will sing hymn number 74, after which will Brother Graham Lake conclude our meeting with prayer. The first begotten from the dead, Lo, Jesus risen, his people's head, to make their life secure. Though they like him may yield their breath, like him they'll burst the bands of death, their resurrection sure. Hymn 74.